Hi, and welcome to the Drupal Easy Podcast. I am Mike Anello, and today I'm here with Greg Nadison, the author of Cracking Drupal. If you are on Drupal.org at all, you've probably seen Greg's username, Greggles. He's all over the place. He's a member of the Drupal security team, which probably helped a lot in writing the book. And he's also maintainer of two modules which are most likely installed on a lot of the sites that you may have put together. Those are the Path Auto module and the Token module. So welcome, Greg.
Thanks very much, Mike.
So today we're going to talk about your book mainly, Cracking Drupal, A Drop in the Bucket. A Drop in the Bucket. That could have been a good title, too. I guess that was published, a couple of months ago now?
Yeah, it was, I think, the beginning of May. It started to trickle out.
Oh, okay. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about who you are, Greg, and you know, where you come from and what your day job is.
Sure. So, as you said, Greg Knadison or Greggles, and I live in Denver. And I got started working with the Drupal project about 4 years ago when I needed a website for my neighborhood, and was looking at a bunch of different solutions for allowing other people in the neighborhood to edit the content. And Drupal seemed like a pretty good choice that that had all the features we needed. So then, a little bit over 3 years ago, I decided to start working full time as a Drupal freelancer, and have been working full time with Drupal ever since then, as a consultant and helping people to build sites and build modules and all sorts of fun stuff related to Drupal.
So you're a partner in Growing Venture Solutions, and I understand that's mainly a Drupal shop.
Yes, exactly. So starting last summer, I decided that in order to take on really fun projects and complement the, the specific set of skills that I have, it would be important to have a team of people who can, really complement my skills and bring more things to our customers. So we expanded and we're now up to 4 people. And 3 of us are here in Denver, and one person, Ezra, is out in New York. And we're, just having a lot of fun building Drupal sites and trying to make our customers happy.
Fantastic. It's always great when you can, have your day job being 100% Drupal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, so how did you decide to write this book? This is kind of a different kind of Drupal book, where most Drupal books you see are, how to build a site or how to use, this suite of modules to accomplish this, or how to build a module. Or a Drupal security book is kind of a different type of book. So what gave you the idea that it would make a good subject?
Yeah. So basically, there was actually a bug, a security-related bug in the Path Auto module, and I got contacted by the security team and was asked to fix it, and I had done some blog posts prior to that about security team policy and what kinds of things are appropriate policy, and so I think it was maybe Boris or somebody else who was on the security team at that time said, hey, do you think that you would want to join the security team and help us out? And so it was about the time of DrupalCon Barcelona that I got involved with the security team and started to, work through the queue of issues. And it quickly became very overwhelming for me, as I think happens to a lot of different people who join the security team. If you look at the information about the security team, you'll see that the members of the team have changed quite a bit over the years. And, I think that that's a sign that people are getting kind of burned out on it. And so part of what I noticed about it was that we kept getting, if you look at Drupal Core is very secure. Contributed modules often have a lot of bugs in them, security vulnerability bugs, that is. And they're not, super complex bugs. They're kind of some of the basic things about using the Drupal API in the right way. And contributed module maintainers, either themselves or through patches that they receive, end up with holes in their modules. And it just creates a lot of additional work for the security team. So, we said, okay, what can we do to reduce this amount of effort that is being put out by the security team? And we said, well, we can make the Drupal APIs more secure. We can teach module maintainers how to build their modules better. We can do evangelism at Drupal camps and Drupal cons talking about how to write secure modules, but really some solid documentation, a solid book would be a great way to educate people about it. And, you know, fortunately about DrupalCon Boston timeframe, the folks at Wiley Publishing were interested in writing a book about Drupal and security. And so, you know, it's like, hey, there's chocolate in my peanut butter. We got together and we said, this will be great. And I've been working on it since about last summer.
So from what I saw in the book, it seems like there were other members of the security team that contributed to the book and helped out.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a lot of folks who helped out. You know, the person who was most involved is CHX or Charlie, who, you know, is involved in just about everything Drupal related and has been an editor on a lot of books. And he helped me out officially as the technical editor on this book and was very helpful. Also, Heine Delstra, who is the team leader for the security team, was very helpful. And, you know, various other people were helful to me in writing the book.
Yeah, I think CHX might have a time machine because I really don't know how he does so much.
It's pretty amazing. I'm very thankful to him.
So the book is laid out pretty nicely into three sections. The introduction is kind of, you talk about the anatomy of the different ways that Drupal can be attacked. The middle section is kind of the biggest section about, you know, how to protect against vulnerabilities. And it's not just talking about when you're writing modules, but you go pretty far in depth into, you know, contributed modules as well and Drupal core and kind of best practices for site administrators. You know, in there, there's chapters on, there's a whole chapter on theming. There's a whole chapter, probably my favorite chapter was the one on the Drupal access system, which I think for a lot of people is still just kind of this magic black box. And then the third section that you have is, it's called Weaknesses in the Wild. And you give some good examples of modules that used to be insecure and what was done to fix them. And probably my favorite part of that last section is that JavaScript snippet, which you included, that can reset user one's password just with JavaScript.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-blowing what you can do with a cross-site scripting vulnerability. Anything that the user has access to do, JavaScript can do on their behalf. So cross-site scripting is a huge issue, and it's the most common issue that we find in Drupal modules and themes, and it also happens to be an enormous hole when it can be taken advantage of.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't seem like there's, and this is just from reading the book, it doesn't seem like there's ever a case of a small cross-site scripting hole. It's basically, there's only one size.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of true. There are, like, there's been a bunch of situations for quite recently where in order to take advantage of the cross-site scripting, you'll need administer content types or administer taxonomy permission. And so if a user has those kinds of permissions already, then they can do a lot of bad stuff to your site. And so we consider those to be less critical. But you're definitely right that especially if an anonymous or low authenticated user, low role, has the ability to create an XSS attack, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting point that you just brought up, where if the cross-site scripting attack is available to a user with higher permissions, it may not be that big of a deal, or, you know, it's not as critical, I should say.
Exactly.
But if it's a cross-site scripting vulnerability that's available to anonymous users, that's, you know, that seems like that would be, you know, kind of the bat phone you would need to pick up and call the security team.
Yeah, absolutely.
So one thing that you kept on revisiting in the book, and you probably, you know, came back to it three or four times in the book, was an issue having to do with hook menu when migrating from Drupal 5 to Drupal 6. And I was just wondering, you know, how prevalent is that in contrib? Is that something that you see, you know, 10% of the modules having, or more or less, or was that just a kind of a convenient example?
Well, so that was something that came out right, you know, the security team was dealing with it, and then it was publicly announced while I was really in the thick of writing the book, so maybe that's why I kept going back to it. Mm-hmm. But this was the security advisory number is 2008-063, which was released in October of 2008. And inside of that announcement, there were there were 9 different contributed modules that we mentioned specifically. Previously to that, there were a couple of others that we had handled on kind of a one-off basis or in a smaller batch, but then we had those 9 at the same time. The other thing is that there was a change to Drupal core at that time, so that if people didn't upgrade their module in the proper way, then Drupal core would say, oops, this module is no longer compatible with Drupal 6. And so to some extent, we you know, quote unquote, broke a bunch of contributed modules at that point. But the reasoning for that was that we were pretty sure we weren't going to catch everything that had an issue. And so we wanted, you know, functionality to break in order for people to have to fix their site and prove that, you know, yes, this module was written correctly and intentionally. And that's something that, you know, it's such a tough decision as a security team to say, well, are we going to break some of these uncommon contributed modules? Probably, but it's worth it to be secure in the long run to have, you know, that's kind of a philosophy of Drupal, is that you should be, if you're using the API, then you should be secure. If you're doing things the right way using the Drupal API, then your site will be safe. And we want to make sure that it's easier to be safe than to be unsafe.
So when you guys find a hole like that in core, and you mentioned that at the time there were 9 contributed modules as well, are you looking at all contributed modules to see if there's, or is there a short list, like the top 100 most used, or how'd you come up with that list of 9?
Well, so there's a, you know, the security team doesn't, in general, doesn't have a specific goal of scanning all of the contributed modules line by line and trying to make sure that they're all safe.
Right.
But if we find some pattern of code that looks like it's unsafe and that's easy to detect using a scanning tool like grep,
yeah,
we'll just grep across the entire contributed module code base for any module that might have this problem and then say, oops, here's the 9, and try to fix all of them. And to be clear, you know, it wasn't really a hole in core there. It was just a change in the way that core worked, and we made it kind of more secure so that module developers would have to be really active about how they upgraded their module.
Okay, my mistake.
No. Yeah.
So at this point, does the coder module catch this issue if someone incorrectly creates an item in hook menu?
You know, I'm not really sure if Coder does or not, but based on the way that the Drupal 6 hook menu validation stuff works at this point, you know, people have to add in the access arguments and the access callbacks. So at this point, like, Core is kind of enforcing this on the developers. And I just haven't checked whether or not Coder does it.
I find that Coder is my... That's kind of what I use is when I write a module, I will run Coder on it. It's kind of my first pass to make sure that, you know, I'm not breaking anything and I'm not doing anything silly. And I guess that's kind of where that question comes from.
Sure. And that's a great point, you know, because as I was saying, that the philosophy is that if you're using the API, then the defaults through the API should be safe and the developer should have to work around them in order to be unsafe. And so Coder module makes sure that you're using the API as much as possible. So if you run your module through Coder and it comes out clean, that should give you a good sense, or it's a bit of a kind of quick check, like, is this module even close to being secure? If you pass Coder, you know, that's a checkbox on your list of maybe 10 things that you should be checking.
Right, exactly. You also in the book give a nice rundown of a bunch of contributed modules that can enhance security on a site. You know, I use persistent login on most of the sites that I develop, just because I find a lot of my clients like the remember me checkbox. Do you have any favorites on sites that you build or that you recommend to clients over and over again?
You know, it's kind of a tough thing because it's all a balancing act, and it depends upon, you know, this is something that I talk about, I think, pretty early in the book, that you've got to balance the security needs of the site with the usability and, you know, the extra overhead associated with making it more secure. You know, just as an example, that persistent login module, I think that's a great module, and I use it on a lot of sites, but adding that little remember me checkbox is just yet another piece of information on the page. And if your page is already overwhelming, then that might be the thing that pushes them over the edge and just makes their head explode. So I often do recommend the persistent login module. One module that I like as well is the OpenID module, just because I prefer sending my username and password to my OpenID server and then having my OpenID server tell Drupal who I am, rather than sending my username and password in the clear across HTTP to my Drupal sites.
You know, one module you had listed there, which I was not aware of, was the Salt module.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So this is something where the way that the password is stored inside of Drupal's database uses a one-way hashing function. So it takes the password that you enter, runs it through some crazy mathematical function, and then pops out a string of data that is unique to the password that you entered. But it cannot be reverse engineered. So you can't go from that string backwards to the password. That's the idea there. So once you've entered your password on the site, a site admin looking in the database can't try to figure out what it is. Well, Drupal uses a function for the password called, I believe it's called MD5, which creates a specific kind of a hash for the password. And the MD5 function is increasingly not secure enough. It can be, you know, people are able now to take an MD5 hash value and reverse engineer that into your password. So now they've got your username, your email address, and the password that you used on a Drupal site. And if you're like most people, that's the same password that you're also using for your bank account. It's the same one you're using for, you know, your Travelocity account or whatever else. And, Amazon maybe. And so people can take that information, go to a different site and log in as you and try to do some stuff. So the Salt module uses a different password hashing function that is a little bit more secure. And that way, if somebody gets a hold of the database, it'll be more difficult for them to find out what your original password is.
Yeah, that seemed to me like that was a real simple solution to just basically, like you said, increase the strength of the password without a whole lot of overhead.
Right. And, you know, there's another script that I provide in the book. I mean, the place that I get concerned about something like the password hash is when I've got a development version of a customer database on my laptop and I'm just walking around with it. You know, I put it in my trunk. Okay, great. What if somebody steals my laptop, you know? I have different measures I've taken on my laptop, of course, but I think that there's a lot of developers walking around with a whole bunch of customer information, and that's a little scary. So I have this script that I provide in the book that you can run against your Drupal database to clear out all of the really sensitive information, like the password or the email address or, the IP address that the access log request came from, things like that, so that you don't have to worry about databases being compromised.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Something else that you talked about in the book that was brand new to me was the Drupal Security Scanner module. I think that was a Summer of Code project last summer.
Yeah.
Can you kind of describe what that is and who would you recommend use that? Is that more of a developer tool or a site admin tool or kind of what's the overview on that?
Yeah, this is a really cool module in my mind, actually. It's kind of it's a module that will log into your Drupal site and try to create a whole bunch of content through the site that has XSS cross-site scripting attacks in it, and then it rescans the whole site and says, you know, did any of those cross-site scripting attacks make it through the interface and get inserted into the HTML? So, you know, you can do this manually by typing in a little bit of JavaScript in, for example, the node title field and seeing if that JavaScript creates a pop-up. But if you had to do that in every single text field across your site, that would take forever. And so this module lets your computer do that tedious activity for you, and it just runs through the whole site to try to find cross-site scripting vulnerabilities. In terms of who should use it, I think, you know, really anybody at all. Like, if you're downloading a contributed module, you should try out the security scanner and see if that contributed module is vulnerable. Even if you're not using contributed modules, it's possible to create a cross-site scripting situation using just Drupal core by configuring your input filters the wrong way. And this module helps to find whether you've got your input filters configured right or wrong. So, you know, those are some examples. Also, themers. You know, a lot of times vulnerabilities are not in modules, not in configuration, but in the theme layer. And this module can help to find those vulnerabilities that are introduced at the theme layer. So that's, you know, really anybody should be testing with this module.
Yeah, that was a big part of the theme chapter in the book, was safe handling of variables coming out of the database by themers.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, kind of something that's, I think, often overlooked until you, you know, see an action and, you know, get the fear of God put into you as to how unsafe something can be.
Yeah, exactly. And those are, you know, we were talking earlier about cross-site scripting. The mistakes that people make in the theme layer usually are cross-site scripting vulnerabilities.
Right. All right, well, I always like to summarize things. So I'm going to ask you three quick questions. And I don't want to give away too much about what's in the book, but what is your number one security-related piece of advice for site administrators? And I'm going to take away the one that says, you know, keep up with security updates. I'll take away the lowest hanging fruit.
Sure. So that's the number one item, you know, and I give some examples in the book about some of the major internet worms that have gone around, and all of the worms came out after the security patches were available. So if people had just upgraded, they wouldn't have the problems. But skipping beyond that, I'll give away two of my bits of advice. One is to just reduce your attack surface by using as few modules as you possibly can, and make sure that all of your modules are popular and well-tested. You know, that's a decent proxy for how secure they are. And what I mean by attack surface is that, you know, every time that you make a new configuration of your site, every time that you install a new contributed module, you're increasing the functionality and the potential places where an attacker can break into your site. It's not directly proportional, but certainly if you're installing a whole bunch of crazy modules, you're just increasing the chances that one of those has a vulnerability in it. The next one is unfortunately not an easy one, but to just every change that you make, test it out. I've seen so many sites where people make a change, people make, you know, 40 or 50 changes at the same time, and then I take a look at their site and I'm like, okay, do you realize that you just gave you know, full HTML and PHP input format to your anonymous users?
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they were trying to get something to work and they clicked a whole bunch of buttons because they just weren't sure what to do. And they ended up doing something that was pretty dangerous. So kind of go slow and just test things out, basically.
Yeah, on your first point there, when a client comes to me with an existing Drupal site, I'm not sure if I've ever had a case where they did not have modules enabled that they were just flat out weren't using.
Yeah.
And that's lately, that's been kind of my first thing I do, is go to the modules page and kind of quiz them on, what are you using this for? Why is this enabled? What is this for? And just trying to cut down on what's enabled. From a security standpoint, yes, but for me, primarily, it's been just to simplify things.
Absolutely. It's for simplicity and for performance even, you know.
Right, yeah, performance.
All sorts of reasons.
All right, so how about for your number one security tip for Drupal module developers?
Sure. So, you know, as I was writing the book, I started to realize that there was a little bit of a secret in it. You know, it's advertised as the Drupal security book, but in fact, really what it is a guide to how to write at least the development parts of it. It's a guide to how to use the Drupal API properly. the Drupal API is really brilliant, in my opinion, in that it will do as much as it can to keep you safe. And so if you just learn the API and use it properly, you'll be all set. Conveniently, if you, you know, if you haven't purchased a development book yet and you're thinking about also purchasing Cracking Drupal, consider just buying Cracking Drupal first and reading through it, because you'll learn a lot about how to do proper development by reading the book.
Yeah, I think the phrase that comes to mind as I was about two-thirds of the way through the book was, it really is a best practices book.
Yeah.
Not only for developing modules, but, you know, using input formats.
Right.
You know, all the little things that you do the first time you set up the site that you're not sure about if that's the right way to do it, this book kind of lays it out as, you know, this is the right way to do it from a security perspective.
Yep.
All right, so here's the big question. For themers who aren't used to having to think about security, what would be the number one tip?
My advice would be to, you know, hopefully find a module developer in your company or on your team that you're working with, and as much as possible, just rely on them to provide all of the variables that you need to put into your page, you know, your page template or your node template or wherever you're putting those variables. Put them in there, and that way you're making sure that your module developer is in charge of doing all of the string handling that might be unsafe. You know, that's the ideal scenario, and I know that, you know, not everybody is in that environment where they have a module developer that they can just, you know, roll over to that person's desk and say, hey, could you help me out with this and provide this to my template? So if you don't have that opportunity, I would say be really careful when you're dealing with strings. And as much as possible, lean on the API functions that are available to you to output those strings.
Yeah, know when to use check plain.
Exactly.
That would be the big one.
You know, even check plain is like, hopefully you shouldn't even have to use that. The link function L,
right,
or even the T function, those functions should be doing the check plain action for you. But, you know, certainly check plain and check markup, filter, XSS admin, all those things are important. But ideally, you don't even have to use those as a themer.
Exactly. So that's just about it. If we actually, the publisher, Wiley Publishing, was nice enough to send me a bunch of copies of the book, which we're going to give away.
Awesome.
So if you'd like to get a free copy of the book, and I think the list price in the States is about $40, right? Yeah, $40 in the U.S., you can win a copy one of two ways. You can call 321-441-3964 and leave us a voicemail, either telling us why you want a copy or with a Drupal security tip, which we'll put on the site somewhere. Or you can go to drupaleasy.com/contact and send us a message with your, you know, favorite Drupal security tip or favorite security-related module or advice, and you know, we'll pick the best few at random. Make sure you leave your name and some contact information, because for our previous book giveaways, we've had people leave some really good tips, but not leave us their name or how to get in contact with them. So that's not good. Before we started the podcast, Greg, we talked about that you're going to be in Paris for DrupalCon.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And I believe you've submitted a session which isn't really security related. The title is Drupal Ingredients for Your Website Dish or Modules You Should Use on Every Site, which I think I've given this talk to Drupal Easy students about 40 times, which is it's great, though, because every time, no matter who gives it, I always learn something new. There's always one little thing that you know, I usually learn, so that should be a good one. So if you're interested in that, by all means, go to the DrupalCon site and vote that one up. And, well, thank you very much, Greg. It was great.
You bet. Thank you, Mike.
We'll see you in Paris. And you can do you use Twitter, Greg?
I do. Knadison on Twitter. Knadison.
All right. So follow Greg and also follow Drupal Easy on Twitter for daily Drupal quick tips. And we do special announcements that we only do on Twitter and not on the website. So thank you very much, Greg. Everybody check out Cracking Drupal from Wiley Publishing. And that's it for this Drupal Easy podcast.